Before I continue on, I'd like to mention a couple things. I wanted to mention this at the Lord's Supper Sunday, but I wasn't there, so I'll mention it to you tonight. And I really appreciate the support and encouragement you've given me since when I was in the hospital and since I've been out. I appreciate the phone calls. Appreciate the good food that was given to me. One of the good things about being sick at Northgate Chapel, you get some free food along with it, you know? And more than anything else, I appreciate your prayers. And I think I was telling my brother Gideon in the hospital, I believe it was him, that I value prayer more than gold, silver, or any amount of money in the world. There's no substitute for the prayers of God's people. And I appreciate that. I really do. The Lord sustained me. And the reason He sustained me is because you were praying for me. And I appreciate that very much. And for all those who missed that, missed my appreciation, be sure to tell them that I thank them and I appreciate it. And but in Psalm 73, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to break this psalm into two parts. This week on Wednesday, this Wednesday night, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. Next Wednesday night, I'm speaking again. It'll be verses 17 through, I think it's 28, to the end of the psalm. And before we get into it, I'd like to make a few opening remarks. I know you've noticed, and I don't have to ask you the question, have you ever noticed this? Because I know you have. That there are a lot of evil, wicked people in the world, you know. And they are doing a lot of damage. They're doing a lot of wicked, evil deeds in the world today. And it would appear to some, it would appear to you and I, that these wicked, evil people that are doing all these things, it would appear that they're getting away with it. That there's no justice in regard to the wicked, evil people sometimes. And regardless of what field you're looking in, whether it's business or education or entertainment or sports, politics, regardless of which area you're looking at, there's a lot of wicked people doing a lot of wicked things, and it would appear that they're not being caught, they're not being brought to justice as they should, as we think they should. I recall I think it was last year, that as a governor of a state who was involved in an adulterous affair with another woman. He was married, of course, had children. The thing that bothered me about this, I thought at the time when I heard that this guy should resign for being governor, but he didn't. To me, that was just plain outrageous. He had disqualified himself by committing a public sin of adultery, and then he wanted to stay in office, and as far as I know, he's still there, you know. I also read several years ago about a member of the House of Representatives who was involved in some kickbacks and bribes. The FBI searched his house, and they found $90,000 in cash in the freezer of his refrigerator. That gives a whole new meaning to the word cold, hard cash, doesn't it? It was cold, it was hard, and it was cash, and it was in his freezer. To my knowledge, he was... I don't know if he was indicted or brought to trial. I think he's still in office, as far as I know. But, you know, these incidents can be multiplied by dozens or even hundreds over the world in our lifetime. And Asaph, the psalmist, in verse 73, he dealt with this problem. He dealt with this issue about the prosperity of the wicked, or their apparent prosperity. And I'm going to read the first 16 verses in a minute, but would like to say that the first 16 verses of this psalm is from Asaph's point of view. You have to understand, this is Asaph's perspective on what he has observed in the world among wicked, evil people. Now, the last half, the second half of the psalm, is God's perspective. That's God's viewpoint on all that. And we'll study about that next week. But we'll start reading at verse 1, Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And we'll stop right there. Asaph begins this psalm with on a positive note in verse 1. He says, truly, God is good to Israel. And, you know, God does show his goodness to his people. God certainly showed his goodness to the children of Israel over their lifetime, over hundreds of years. And we understand, if we read the scriptures, that God can never act unjustly to his beloved people. And that includes us. God is always good to us. He's just and kind to us. He's gracious in his dealings with us. And Asaph understood that truth in verse 1. He also said, even to such as are of a clean heart, those that are clean in heart and mind. You know, if we have a right relationship with God, if we exhibit obedience and dependence upon him, we will see God's goodness to us. The children of Israel certainly saw that. You know, when they were dependent upon the Lord and when they obeyed him, God poured out his blessing and his goodness on the children of Israel. But we see that Asaph's tone changes a little bit in verse 2. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Even though God is good to his people, I started to have doubts about God's just dealings. That's what Asaph is saying. He said, My steps had well nigh slipped in verse 2. Asaph was slipping in his faith in the Lord. Now, he hasn't turned his back on God. He hasn't gone his own way or anything like that. But in his mind, in his thinking, his faith had almost slipped to the point where he had some skepticism regarding God in regards to this issue about the prosperity of the wicked. And we see sometimes that in circumstances in our life, we may say, well, you know, this is not fair. Lord, you shouldn't do this to me. You shouldn't treat me this way. You shouldn't allow this for me to go through this. But brothers and sisters in Christ, God is always fair and just with us. He is not going to lay on us anything that he cannot sustain us through. You see. But Asaph was starting to have doubts. And in verse 3 he says, and this is the crux of what Asaph is getting at in verse 3. He said, for I was envious of the foolish. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph was envious of wicked people because he saw them prospering in their lives. And we might well ask a question, can the wicked prosper? Of course, we look around and we see, yeah, they certainly can. They could prosper, they could keep on going, and it looks like things get better and better for wicked, evil people sometimes, doesn't it? And Asaph is going to elaborate on that in a few minutes. But starting in verse 4, Asaph describes how the wicked have prospered. And he says in verse 4, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." That word bands means violent pangs. There are no violent pangs in their death. I found out an interesting fact about this. In the ancient Middle East, there was a belief circulating around that a painless death meant a happy life in the hereafter. Of course, we know that's not true. We understand that to be a fable, to be a tale, a tall tale. But nevertheless, there were some people who believed that in Asaph's day, that if you die peacefully, that means, hey, everything's going to be good for you when you die, after you die. But he says in verse 5, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." You know, the wicked prosper. They don't have troubles like other people. At least that's what Asaph has observed. The wicked apparently live lives that are almost worry-free, apparently. I use that word apparently a lot in this psalm. He also said that the evil, wicked people are not plagued as other men. You know, the wicked don't suffer affliction as other people. It would seem on the surface, if we look at, or from Asaph's point of view, and this is what we're looking at, this is not God speaking, this is Asaph's thoughts on the matter. It would have seemed from his point of view that the wicked rarely, if ever, suffer affliction from his observances. And as a result of the wicked apparently prospering in verse 6, it says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment," in verse 6. As a result of the wicked apparently promising, they're living a worry-free lifestyle, apparently, on the surface. There emerges there a human tendency to pride and arrogance. Asaph noticed that. He said they wear their pride around their neck like a chain. And violence, in verse 6, violence covers them as a garment. It would seem that the wicked are covered, they wear violence, just like you and I wear our clothes. If they're in their boasting, they'll ride roughshod over other people. If people get in the way of the wicked, they just push them out of the way, keep on going. They don't care about people, in Asaph's observance. In verse 7, he says, "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." The wicked are prone to gloating over what they have. They may say, look at what I've got, and look at what you haven't got. You haven't got all the stuff that I have. And you're a law-abiding citizen, aren't you? You're depending upon God. But you see, I don't need God. I've got all this other stuff here, and I did it without God's help. They have more than heart could wish. Their greed has been exceeded. Every material possession they want has been theirs. Their appetites have been satisfied many times over. It's like that interview I saw, and I think I mentioned this some time ago, about this multi-billion-dollar guy who was head of an oil company. Interviewer asked him, "You know, you're a multi-billionaire. What more do you want? I mean, what else do you want? I mean, you got billions of dollars." He said, "I want more." "I want more." Can you believe that? "I'll just be satisfied with $100. I don't know about this guy. I'm cheap. You can get me cheap." But, you know, they have more than their heart could wish. This is what the wicked have done. And they're boasting about it. They're gloating over that fact. And in verse 8, Asaph says, "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily." The evil people speak to people as if they are menial servants. You know, when you're wicked and you have everything your hearts can desire, you think that you can treat people any way you want to. And they're going to take it, you see. And Asaph is mentioning the fact they speak wickedly. You know, how a person speaks is an indication, a partial indication of the kind of character they have. And we see in verse 8 that Asaph said that they speak loftily. They speak loftily. The wicked people expect people to bow down to them, to stand in awe of them, because they're rich, they're famous, they have notoriety or whatever it is they possess, and they expect other people to be in awe of them, you see. In verse 9, we see the arrogance of the wicked. Asaph says in verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They speak arrogantly against God. There is no fear of God in their hearts. And it says their tongue their tongue walketh through the earth in verse 9. They're busy using their tongues to slander people, to engage in backbiting, lying, boasting. This is what the wicked do. This is what Asaph has observed them doing. And I think it's interesting in verse 9, the thought came to my mind is when the wicked speak arrogantly against God. You recall in Revelation, and I think in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, it's talking about the beast and his coming into the world. And the fact that the beast or the Antichrist will speak against arrogantly and blasphemously against God, that he will blaspheme God, that he will speak against God, he will put himself in the place of God, you see. The Antichrist or the beast, I think, is the ultimate wicked man, you know. He is all the wicked men in the world wrapped up in one package. It would appear. But Asaph says that they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. And he says in verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Therefore his people return hither. Because of the evil of the wicked people, God's people, the believers, the true believers, are driven to the throne of grace for shelter. And the waters of a full cup is a reference to giving God's, it gives God's people an opportunity to see the wicked. The wicked are up here, and the people of God, that is Asaph, think they're down here, you see. The enemies of God are apparently in the ascendancy, and it seems that the people of God are helpless as the wicked prosper. Isn't that the feeling that you get sometimes? That's the feeling I get sometimes. When I look out in the world, I see the wicked, the evil people, apparently getting away with what they're doing. And like this governor who committed adultery and this congressman who had $90,000 in his refrigerator. It would appear that they're getting away with what they're doing. They're not being punished. And the only thing that, and we stand by and we look at these things, and you know, we're helpless to do anything. The only thing we can do is pray for God's justice, or pray that these people come to Christ and be saved. You see. And Asaph further says in verse 11, and they say, this is interesting in verse 11, and they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? You know, it's always fascinating and interesting to see the ungodly are always alike in their attitude toward God, it would seem. They believe that their wicked acts are unobserved by a holy and righteous God. Certainly God is too busy to take notice of my deeds in my life. Why, I can do anything I want to anybody I want to, anytime I want to, and God doesn't care. It's my life, and I'll do what I want. Have you ever noticed that attitude? Asaph apparently had, and he had noticed the fact that the wicked speak against God, thinking they're going to get away with their wicked, evil deeds, thinking they're, you know, what they've done has been established. I got away with this act years ago, and I'm still getting away with it here now. So, and God doesn't care. He doesn't notice anything. So I can pretty much do what I want to. That's their attitude. And Asaph further says in verse 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches," in verse 12. "The wicked are having everything go their way. The world is theirs to do with any way they want. And they increase in riches." You know, I mentioned the fact that the ungodly have wealth. They have health. And it looks like it's their riches are increasing, and the wicked get more wealthy, it would appear. Now, let me interject something here, you know, before we go on. I'm assuming that you know this. I'm going to mention it anyway. But you know, not every wicked, evil person is going to get away with their deeds. I think you and I understand that. We see some wicked, evil people who have done some horrible things. They've been caught, and they've been punished for what they've done. There's no doubt about that. But Asaph is looking at these people from his own point of view. He is looking at the wicked and how they're prospering, you see. And we see in verse 13, he starts talking about himself in opposition to the wicked. He says in verse 13, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." In contrast to the ungodly, Asaph has kept his heart pure before God. But he says, "I've done it in vain." You know, Asaph, he considered himself innocent. The wicked are guilty. He was poor. They were rich. He was afflicted. They were at peace. And he says in verse 14, he says, "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." You know, it would seem that from the rising of the sun until the end of the night, Asaph has been continually chastened. Unlike the wicked, who rarely, if ever, get chastened at all. From his point of view, from Asaph's point of view. And I think, you know, There is a tendency for the people of God to do that, to say, "Well, Lord, you know, I'm one of your children, and here I'm being treated like this by these wicked, evil people. And you know, I've been chastened, I've been plagued, and I've gotten things are not exactly going my way." And we think in our own minds, well, you know, these other people are getting away with their wicked deeds, you know, when they do it especially against us, apparently. And Asaph says in verse 15, he says, "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." If Asaph would open his mouth and speak of this, of his deep discouragement, he could spread discontent among his fellow believers, among his brethren. That is a tendency we all have, I think. To moan and groan, gripe, complain about things, you know. I'm in there too. But in verse 16, Asaph said, When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When Asaph considered the result the words he spoke may carry, he decided it would cause more harm than good. If he spoke up and mentioned his deep, dark discouragement. And make no mistake about it, brother, sister in Christ, Asaph was discouraged. He was down. He was in the dumps when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But you know, if I open my mouth, if I would speak these horrible things about the prosperity of the wicked, the result could be discontent among God's people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you know, sometimes there's a time to speak up. Sometimes there's a time to speak out. There's a time to tell it like it is. But you know, sometimes it's a time for God's people to shut up. You know? That sometimes, I don't mean to be too blunt, but sometimes, you know, it's a time to speak out, but sometimes it's a time to keep our mouth shut because of the damage and hurt that it could do. Asaph saw that, you see, in verses 15 and 16. He said, you know, I'm so down, I'm so discouraged that if I open my mouth and speak about the prosperity of the wicked, I believe that God's people will become discontented. And, you know, brother, sister in Christ, we don't want that, do we? We don't want that. So far in this psalm, and that's the end of verse 16, so far we have seen the prosperity of the wicked. Apparently they are going unpunished. Apparently they're not getting their just due for their deeds. And keep in mind, this is all from Asaph's perspective. This is his viewpoint. This is what Asaph has observed. And as you go along and read the first 16 verses, you can see how discouraging it is for Asaph to go through all this stuff. Next week, starting in verse 17 through verse 28, we're going to see this issue about the prosperity of the wicked. We're going to look at it from God's point of view. And Asaph has he sings a different tune next week, as we'll see in this last half of this Psalm 73. So stay tuned and read this psalm again next week, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. Brother Bob.